Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
If you joined us last Sunday or watched last Sunday's service sometime during the week, you got an earful about my four, or sometimes six, pillars that have emerged out of my experiences with God and that have come to serve as priorities and touchstones for me in my life and ministry. I want to say a big thank you to those of you who have reached out to share some about your spiritual pillars. I have been so moved and inspired by your experiences and thoughtful reflections on those experiences. I hope that you will keep them coming. Email, phone, text. I'm loving hearing from you. And as I mentioned last week, I'm spending a little extra time during these first few weeks of being with you to reflect on a biblical text, and then to share a little more about myself and my story as we get to know each other. So the passage that's before us today is the parable of the sower. At least that's what it's called in some translations of the Bible. And it's a parable that is probably familiar to some of us. At first glance, it sounds like a rather ordinary tale. It's about sowing seeds, something everyone in that day and age would be familiar with. Eric sent me a great tweet on this text this week that pointed out that this parable doesn't exactly make Jesus look like a world-class farmer, because the sower in this account is a little haphazard, right? Throw some seed here, throw some seed there. Who knows where the wind will take them? Who knows where they'll land? And when we read it from that perspective, the perspective of the sower, we realize that there's kind of a graciousness, if not agricultural rigor, to this kind of farming. There's a persistent hopefulness that emerges when we think about a sower who scatters seeds of promise despite the terrain. But instead of looking at this parable from the perspective of the sower, I want to take a look at it from the perspective of the soil this morning. And in fact, the translation that we most frequently use here at PBUMC, the Common English Bible, actually calls this parable the parable of the soils rather than the parable of the sower. And that makes sense because it is in large part about soil. And depending on where we're from, where we grew up, soil evokes different thoughts or images or sensory experiences for each one of us. Because at least as kids, we've probably all held on to a handful of dirt, let it cake onto or run through our fingers. We've smelled it. I imagine some, maybe more than a few of us, have even tasted it. If you were all here, I'd ask for you to raise your hands. Some of us grew up playing in dirt that was mostly made of sand, others in areas where soil was predominantly clay, others in places where the dirt was mostly silt. There are all kinds and different types and qualities of soil, and our parable recognizes that these differences and how they impact a seed's potential for growth. There is greater potential for growth when the soil is rich and the roots can dig deep and the plant can be sustained through all kinds of changing climate and conditions. So in addition to thinking about pillars a lot over this last year, I've also been thinking a lot about dirt and how I'm rooted. Some of you may be familiar with author Parker Palmer and singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. They do a podcast together called The Growing Edge, And they offer a growing edge retreat twice a year in non-COVID times, of course. So last fall, I was fortunate enough to go to Wisconsin for a growing edge retreat. Poetry was a central component of that retreat, and small groups reflected on different pieces of poetry, doing a lot of listening and reflecting and sharing. And one of the poems we sat with was Mae Sarton's poem, Now I Become Myself. I included the whole poem in this week's flock note for those who might want to read it in its entirety. But what I'll share with you today is just a few verses that highlight the image that captured my attention at the retreat last year, an image that has continued to companion me in these days. The image is of a plant, and the verses go like this. My work, my love, my time, my face, gathered into one intense gesture of growing like a plant. As slowly as the ripening fruit, fertile, detached, and always spent, falls but does not exhaust the root, so all the poem is, can give, grows in me to become the song, made so and rooted so by love. And it struck me then and stayed with me over these many months that we, like plants in good soil, bear fruit when we are rooted in love. And some of that fruit may be gathered and used. Some of it may fall to the ground and perish. Yet the healthy soul rooted in love continues to bear fruit without becoming exhausted in the process. It is sustained, sustainable, because it is rooted in love. If you were with us last week, you heard me talk about my sacred pillars of belovedness, belonging, believing, and becoming. This poem has contributed to my thoughts around belovedness. When we are rooted in love, when we can draw that love into the core of who we are, claim it for ourselves, claim our own belovedness, we are able to bear fruit and continue to bear good fruit of love and grace and care for the people around us. And then coming back around to the parable of the soils, I'm challenged by this text to think about the types of soil where I have and do take root. Because I don't so much think about people, myself or others, being permanently planted in one type of soil or another. Rather, I find that as I look back over my life, I've attempted to take root in soil that reflects all kinds of different terrain. And the types of soil where I have attempted to take root, using the language of this parable, have been the rocky ground and the thorny soil. So the rocky ground is shallow, and a life can joyfully take root in it, thrive initially, bloom quickly, but then not have enough depth, earth, sustenance to keep from withering when the environment gets challenging or stressful. And the thorny soil is a place where the cares of the world overwhelm and suffocate the plant, the being, the life, so that life is not sustainable in that place either. And what I can tell you from my own experience is that being gay and closeted clergy in the United Methodist Church is like trying to take root in shallow soil that is somehow also covered with a mess of thorns. It is tough terrain. In my life, I think of the thorns or worldly concerns as my unrealistic expectations that I could and should and would make everybody happy. I wanted to be the giver of love, an instrument of peace. I didn't want to unsettle or disturb or rock anybody's world. The underbelly of that, of course, is that I wanted everybody to like me. And I knew that if I was more truthful about who I was when I started serving churches in 1996, I knew that there would be people who would stop liking me. And at that time, that seemed unbearable. And in addition to dealing with thorns, those worldly concerns, I can also say that in seasons past, I've tried to take root in pretty rocky, shallow soil. With joy, I answered a call to ministry. With faith and hope and love, I tried my best to be a good pastor. But what became clear to me, especially after sitting with this Mae Sarton poem for a while, is that I wasn't firmly rooted in love. In reality, I was rooted in fear. Because to be rooted in love is to sink down deep into the good soil and trust, believe that I am fed and nourished and sustained by a God who created me and who loves me. To be rooted in love is to first receive that belovedness into myself and then to bear fruit that offers love and grace to others. I tried to offer others what I could not yet accept for myself. And that's a perfect environment for plants, for people, for lives to wither. And so I left the local church. I followed another aspect of my calling into chaplaincy. And when our denomination looked as if it might finally move forward into a new day of justice and full inclusion for LGBTQ folks, I let myself imagine returning to local church ministry. And when General Conference went a different direction than I had hoped and expected, I was crushed. I know that we have had folks leave Pacific Beach United Methodist Church because of our denomination's inability to do the right thing and move forward on this issue. I know that we have had United Methodists say enough is enough in many different times and places. I love some of those people very much. And I get it. I respect that. I struggled with whether I should stay or go. But raised in this denomination, shaped by the love and grace of Methodist communities, my decision was to stay. I decided that I would stay and claim a place of belonging for myself and others until the time comes when it is finally, truly so, or until someone forces me to leave. That was a big deal for me. Another thing I'll confess to you up front is that I'm a pretty strict rule follower. I like rules. I think many rules have a useful purpose. I will stand at a crosswalk and wait for the signal to walk. Ron also. Lewis is giving him up. Even when there are no cars in sight, like I can tell you, I can get across the street, but I will stand there. I'm one of those people. But as much of a rule follower as I am, it became clear to me that I could no longer abide by this United Methodist rule. And it occurred to me that if Jesus had waited for permission to be Emmanuel, to be the Christ, to be the Good Shepherd, to be the light of the world, to be the way and the truth and the life, he would have been waiting forever. There comes a time when even the most compliant of us needs to step off the sidewalk in order to get on with the business of the gospel and live the life and do the work that God calls us to. So I'm here at PB United Methodist Church and so happy to be here. appointed and serving with the support of our denomination, at least the part of our denomination that's in our neck of the woods. On this Pride weekend, I am humbled by the fact that there are so many, including so many of you, who have done the hard, courageous, sometimes dangerous work for LGBTQ justice and inclusion over many, many years. Not only am I humbled by that, but I am grateful beyond words. And I have to imagine that some of you might be looking at my 53-year-old self and saying, "Sister, you are coming a little late to the game." And believe you me, I've said that to myself a time or two. But I go back to the soil to find some grace, because compost is a thing. Compost matters. The bits and scraps and pieces that might look like trash to some are actually elements that get integrated back into the soil in order to make it rich, healthy, well. All of the stuff of our lives, the good stuff, the hard stuff, the struggling stuff that can sometimes take years, all of it can add to the depth, breadth, and vitality of the soil. So I'll accept my journey for what it is and be thankful that it's brought me to this place. My hope and my invitation to you, PB, United Methodist Church, is that together we continue to be about the good work and ministry that has always been a part of this place. We stand on the shoulders of many, and there's more work to do. So let's dig down deep into the good soil of belovedness. Let us claim that for ourselves and for one another and for anyone else who needs to hear that good news. And rooted and grounded in love, we will bear good fruit, love and peace and justice, joy and hope and grace in the lives of each other and the people and the communities around us. Thanks be to God who invites us into this remarkable journey. Amen. Let us pray together. God, we come to you in this time of prayer, trusting that you created us, each one, in your delightful image. We give you thanks for the many reflections of your beauty and love, grit and grace, as we encounter those reflections in the faces and hearts and lives of all people who work to care for one another and for this world. We are especially thankful this week for national leaders, including John Lewis, who have stood and worked and toiled for justice until they could toil no more. Help us to honor their work and legacy by committing ourselves to building communities that support, honor, and care for all people. Help us to get in the way of injustice whenever and wherever it presents itself. We lift up beloveds in our own community, those who have been hospitalized this week, those who have thankfully returned home, those who have had to make difficult decisions, those who are overwhelmed by the cost of COVID and all its complications, those who are supporting sick or recovering loved ones from a distance. We lift up these and many others, asking for your presence, mercy, peace, encouragement, and grace to draw near to each one. On this weekend, when we celebrate Pride, we recommit ourselves to you and to one another as we look back at where we've come from and look forward to where we have yet to go. We thank you for all those who have paved the way, who have taken the risks, who have done the work, and who have given of their talents and hearts and spirits to make space for everyone at the table. We ask for forgiveness for the ways our institution, our denomination, has done deep harm to the LGBTQ community. And we pray for your help and guidance in making amends and in moving our denomination forward to do better. Remind us of the good soil in which we are planted. Remind us that we are nourished and sustained by your abundant and abiding love. Bless our work, that we may bear fruit that nourishes and sustains others who seek to find a place of belonging, of love, of transformation, of home. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.